check. Amen. I got a phone call Thursday afternoon. Mr. Anthony Cascio was in a panic. And he says, Dennis Wright missed his plane. I need somebody to preach. So I figured I'd help him out. So here we are, amen, this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 91. We're going to go there in the Word of God. A vicar was retiring after 25 years in the parish. And he claimed to clean out his room, the office where he had there in the parish. And he found a small bowl with 5 eggs and 1,000 English pounds in it. And baffled, he called his wife and he said, Darling, what is this little basket under the bed with 5 eggs and 1,000 pounds in it? Oh, she said, I must confess that every time you preached a bad sermon, I put an egg in the basket. Secretly, the vicar was pleased. He says, not bad for, 25 years of service, only 5 eggs, 5 sermons. And he got to thinking, he's like, what about the 1,000 pounds? And she says, well, every time I got a dozen, I would sell them. And so how many of you know this could be like a lot of us? We think we're doing pretty good. On the outside, things are happening in our lives. You know, we're coming to church. Things are going all right. But the problem is, we can think we're hitting hot licks in salvation, but the problem is what's in your heart. You know, on the outside, we can be so self-deceptive. On the inside, we can be so self-deceptive to ourselves. We can put on this facade. We can put on this front. But I want to ask you 2 questions. Is where do you dwell? In your secret place, when you're alone, when nobody else is around, where do you go? Or what do you allow to take up residence in your own heart? I want to talk a few moments this morning on the dwelling place. Out of Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2. And it says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would anoint this message, Father God. I pray that you would minister, God, Lord. Your Holy Spirit would be present in this place, Father God. I pray that you would cause us to look, Father God, at our own heart, God, the dwelling place, God. Those things which are inside of us, Father God, that don't allow you to have complete access in our lives. I pray that the light of the gospel, Father God, would shine, God, things in our hearts. You would reveal to us, God, your will. And I pray that if there are any in this place that don't know you, Father, I pray that they would come to know you by the end of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. I want to talk firstly about choosing a dwelling place. The wording of our text, of our opening text, brings us to the conclusion that you and I, we choose where we dwell spiritually. You and I, we have this choice in life that we're either going to choose to let God dwell within our hearts and we're going to dwell in His presence, or we're going to choose to do our own things. In our hearts, we create a dwelling place. Most of the time, we choose based on our own ambitions about what we want out of life. Many of us, we have a desire. You know, many of us go to school, we get a career. And these things in and of themselves are not bad, they're not wicked, they're not evil. But when we allow them to take up the residence in our own heart, and we allow that to take up all the time that we have, rather than allow God to have complete access into our lives and allow God to guide us and direct us, we choose based on our own ambitions, out of what we choose out of what we want out of life. Christians, how many of you know, should choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? In our hearts, we must place God on the throne of our hearts. You've heard the quote, Pastor Mitchell just quoted it, I believe it was last Sunday, out of the God Players, that each and every one of us have a throne inside of our hearts. Who do you allow to sit on that throne? Is it your own selfish will? Is it what you want? Or do you allow God to have complete access in your life? Do you allow God to dwell in there? You see, where we dwell is an issue of the heart. What it is we create a welcoming atmosphere. And this atmosphere in our heart is created by surrender, number one. It's created by worship. It's created by access, allowing God to have access into our life. And lastly, it's ultimately our choice. How are you choosing? What are you allowing to dwell inside of your life? The word dwell that we find in our scripture is the Hebrew word yashab, which means to abide, to reside, to sit, or to settle, or to stake your claim. This is where we get the understanding. And so, God Almighty, all He wants to do is have a relationship with us. The Bible tells us He knocks at the door of our heart, that if any man should open, that He'll come into them and He'll reside with them. He'll live with them. He'll help them. He'll bless them. He'll provide for them. But so many times we hear that knock at the door, we check the peephole and we say, oh, it's God. Quick, hide everything. We don't allow God to have complete access into our lives. Our text highlights the incredible promises that God gives to those who settle in their heart that God reigns, to those who lay claim to the promise of God and don't look to the left or to the right. Many of us, we've invited God into our hearts, but we're like parents. How many of you have kids? Little rambunctious kids. I do. His name is Kingston. And Navarro's growing up to be just like him. I think Navarro's actually a little bit worse. Anyways, we go into this store, right? And there's a lot of fragile things. And what do you tell your kids? Don't touch that. Leave things alone. If you touch anything, I'm going to break your fingers. Stop messing with things. Or you go into somebody's house, you know, they have all this nice stuff. Oh, this is my China collection. You know, I've gathered it over the years. And, you know, what is the first thing that the kids go to? Is the fragile things. Is the things that can break. Is the things that will cause the most damage. But a lot of us treat God that way. We allow God access. Okay, God, come in. Yeah, no problem. You know, and God starts messing with things in our hearts, right? And what do? We slap God and say, hey, don't touch that, God. Leave that alone. That's mine. This is my dwelling place. I'm just letting you kick it here for a little bit. You just stay out here in the living room area where, you know, I cleaned it all up for you. I made it look presentable. Don't open that closet. That's where I hide my junk. Everybody has a junk closet, right? Or a junk drawer. God goes to open it. What's He going to find? The dwelling place. God isn't looking just to come in and hang out for a couple minutes. God is looking to come into our hearts and reside within us. That's what He's looking for in each and every one of us. And we have a choice to either let Him or kick Him out. But ultimately, it's our own choice. God wants to remove some things in our hearts, but we're always slapping Him away. We're always telling Him, don't touch that. Leave things alone. Go sit over there in the corner and mind your own business and let me go about mine. So many of us, as humans, we can remove God from the dwelling place in our hearts, and we can replace Him with doubt. We can replace Him with fear, with bitterness, unforgiveness, selfish ambition. Whatever removes God off the throne of your heart, you better check in and you better place God where He needs to be. This is the challenge to each and every one of us. 1 John 4:13-16, it says, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Are you making the connection here? It's saying that if you love God, if you want God to minister into your own heart and life, then you're going to have to allow Him inside of you. And then blessings are reciprocated. God moves and ministers in your life, and you receive tremendous things. Problem is everybody wants the blessing without letting God abide within us. This scripture makes it real for us that when we create an atmosphere or a dwelling place for God to work in us, then we dwell, the Bible says, in the shadow of the Almighty. He becomes our refuge. He becomes our covering. He becomes our strength, our protection against the enemy. And how many of you know we have a very real enemy, the devil, right? But most of the time, the enemy is ourselves. We can become our own worst enemies because of our own fallen nature. If you let other things rule your heart, then it can't be a surprise when the enemy uses that against you. Because constantly the enemy is looking for a way, a door, an access point, something that he can exploit. And most of the time, the attacks and the assaults that the enemy brings against our lives, he's exploiting some sort of weakness that we have, some sort of hidden thing that's in there, temptations, hiding perversion and wicked things, immoral things to dwell and creep in the crevices and the dark corners of our heart. The enemy is going to find that, and he's going to choose to exploit that any way that he can. This is why the dwelling place needs to be a total place where God can have total reign and he can go anywhere. But that's a choice that you and I have to make. Sometimes we're not willing to let God deal with things with things in our heart because they cause pain. Things that we've shoved aside, things that we've placed out of sight, out of mind, right? But it's deep down in there, and God is saying, well, what about that? That unforgiveness, that bitterness that you're harboring, resentment. Oh, but you don't understand what they did to me. But God says, yes, I do understand. Because I'm a man of sorrows and I'm acquainted with grief. I understand and I know what you've been through. I see the injustices. But know that they're not going unnoticed. That God sees everything that we're going through. God understands what we're facing. And God is saying, let me sit on the throne of your heart. Let me rule. Let me govern your life. And I'll work things out. I read a sticker that says, hello, good morning, this is God. I just want to let you know that I don't need your help today. You can leave things up to me. I got everything taken care of. Have a nice day. And that's so true if we take it to heart. Because we want to try and fix things our own, right? On our own. We see this bomb and it's about to detonate and we start messing with wires. And 9 times out of 10, we blow ourselves up. And so many people around us. When God's saying, just move out of the way. Let me dwell in your heart. Let me take care of things. Psalms 5:4 says, for you are not a, this is talking about God, and he's saying, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. There it is again. The Bible is telling us that you can't have unrighteousness and righteousness dwell together. The scripture in 1 John talks about us abiding in God and him abiding in us. That's how it works. But the problem is this scripture, it highlights the flip side of not allowing God to dwell in your heart. The great deception for you and I is lukewarmness. Many of us say, "Oh, well, I'm just riding the fence right now. Yeah, I'm not fully 100% in for God, but I'm not fully 100% in the world." Well, the problem is you have chosen where you're going to dwell. You have already chosen what you're going to allow to dwell within your heart. Because the problem is you can't allow sin and God to co-inhabit together in your heart. It's not going to work. And many of us self-deceive ourselves and we say, I'll be okay. I'm just kind of riding the fence right now. Well, it's impossible. You're either hot, you're cold, you're all in or you're all out. There's no middle ground here, guys. So what are you allowing, or what are you choosing to let dwell within your heart? I want to talk secondly about the temporary residence. How many of you have ever had that pesky friend that comes by every so often and says, dude, can I stay with you for a little bit? Just for a couple weeks, or you've had them in the past, you know. That friend that's always bouncing from place to place. Says, hey, it'll just be for a little bit, man. And then once I get on my feet, I'm out of here. And then a couple days turns into a couple weeks, couple months. And it's finally like, dude, you got to go, man. What's wrong with you? Right? I heard a story about a church that this young man had gotten saved, and he was a transient, you know, and God bless him. He didn't have anywhere to go. So the pastor says, well, you know what? You can crash out in my office. No problem. For a couple nights, right? And so he's being gracious to this young man, and this young man, you know, he's thankful. And for the first couple days, it was okay. Then I hear they show up to a Wednesday night service, and the guy has his laundry laid out all over the bathroom, the men's bathroom. And church is about to start. And they walk in, and this guy, like, you know, he made that place his dwelling place. He's like, hey, they opened the doors to me. I'm going to take advantage of this. He had all kinds of stuff laying everywhere. How many of you know God isn't looking for just a temporary residence? And those temptations and those things can come in and say, you know, it's just for a little bit. You can handle it. It'll just one small decision. It's not going to affect everything. Oh, but it is. Because God, amen, is saying, I'm living here. If you truly trust me and you truly place me on the throne of your heart, then there shouldn't be any need for anything else. I'm reminded of the Pharisees. They dwelt in the temple in these places that were incredible places of worship. On the outside, they looked like they were the most holy people in the whole kingdom. But Jesus said, on the inside, they were full of dead man's bones. They had the right dwelling place. But the problem was on the inside was the issue. Many times Jesus rebuked them for not having the right hearts and for just being religious. How many of you know Christianity isn't just about fulfilling some sort of religious obligation? Oh, I got to go to church today. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. It's not a set of rules. It's allowing God to take up residence within our own heart. It's allowing God to be the number one thing in our hearts and allowing God to dwell within us. Jesus is looking for a place where he can abide, where he can live, where he can dwell. So in that return, you can be blessed. Our scripture is saying it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. How many of you can say that this morning? Now, 100%, he's in there. There's no room for anything else. Therefore, I'm going to trust him. It's easy to trust when things are going right. But what about when the temptations and the storms of life come against you? Who are you going to trust then? And you say, God, scoot over. I'm going to sit. I'm going to take this one. Sit with this one out. I'll take care of this one. God is saying no. It's got to be permanent. It's got to be something that's for the long run. It's amazing. You run into people. They want God to move in their life, but they make no time for him. You know, these people, oh, pastor, I'm going through so many things. Oh, man, you don't understand. Well, where you been? Oh, well, I got so many things going on, pastor. I just don't have time. If you want God to move in your life, then it's best to go where he hangs out. How many of you know, when I was looking for drugs, I didn't go to a church. I went to the place where the drug dealer hung out, right? And some people are like, oh, well, I want God to move so bad for me in my life, pastor. Why don't you come to church? Why don't you go to prayer? Why don't you worship God? Why don't you have fellowship with brothers and sisters that are going to help you? form relationships with people that are spiritually stronger than you. Go on outreach. Witness to somebody. Read your Bible. There's a concept. So many people, oh man, where's God? I'm losing it. The dwelling place. You and I, we need to have a hunger for the things of God, a craving, a desire for God to minister in and through us. Many of us want the blessings of Psalms 91, but we only want temporary relationship with God, temporary residence. But with God, it's all or nothing. It can't be 50-50. It can't be 60-40. What God is looking for is total surrender. Then, and only then, can the promises become real in your life. You can experience them firsthand. It's not for the elect few. Salvation isn't difficult. All it takes is surrender. All it takes is access. It takes worship. It takes a choice. Saying, God, I'm not going to be the king of my life. All these other things aren't going to rule my life. I'm going to let you dwell within me. I want to talk lastly about the blessings for those who dwell with God. Psalms 91, 1 and 2, our text, it says, He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. When we have God dwell in us and we dwell in Him, then you and I can make a declaration of faith that no matter what comes our way, no matter what happens in life, no matter what issues arise, that we are going to trust God. And He is going to provide and be for us everything that Psalms 91 says He's going to be for us. We can lay claim to these promises. Four things that God does for us when we place our trust in God and we let Him dwell in us. Number one, He brings shelter and He becomes our refuge. He's a secure defense against the enemy. This is what our opening text tells us. My refuge and my fortress. You know, when I think of these things, I always think of, like, you know, the medieval times. You know, they had these huge castles, these walls, these, you know, things that would protect them against the enemy. Right? And these are all built, you know, for us spiritually. It hinges on each choice that we make. Each choice is like a brick that we're building this wall against the enemy. Should you choose to stop making good choices, you choose to remove God off the throne of your heart, then your wall's only going to be about this high. And the enemy's just going to step right over it and walk all over you. But God promises that when you trust Him, that He'll move for you. Number two, He protects us from danger. Psalms 91, 3 through 7 says, Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid by the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near to you. That's an incredible promise. Because all around we see it today. Our world is completely lost. People are falling all around us. People are being completely wasted by this world. I just had Pastor Tim Miller call me the other day. So when I was in Española, I was there 18 months, and in those 18 months, I did 5 funerals. The first one that I did was for a young man named Hector Martinez. He got saved, thank God, right before he passed away. The last one I did was of his brother, Junior, who, you know, I have no idea whether, you know, how he passed away, but, you know, his family had started coming to church, so they asked if I would do the funeral. I just got a call from Tim now, here, not even 6 months after that we just buried the brother. The father of these two boys just died. And not only that, a few days later, in that same family, one of their cousins dies. This world is being ravished by sin. This world is being completely destroyed. And you and I, we have an answer. It's Jesus Christ. You and I, we have this protection from danger, and we can take it for granted, so many of us. But what about those people that are falling by our side and on our left, all around us? Does your heart ache for them? Do you say, man, I got to do something? Or do you say, well, I'm okay. At least I'm all right. God didn't save you just to save you. He saved you so that you can reach out to others, those ones that are off, that are falling. The promise that none of these things shall come near us, yeah, that's a tremendous blessing. But what about for those people that are falling? Can your heart be moved for them? Can your heart say, man, what am I doing to help them? I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But are you doing it? Number three, he places his angel's charge over us. Psalms 91, 9 through 13. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear upon you, or bear they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. This was a scripture that when the enemy came to tempt Jesus, at the end of the story, we know the story that the devil is tempting Jesus on the mount, and Jesus is fasting for 40 days, and he's quoting scripture. Each time the enemy brings something against him, he's quoting the word of God, which is living and it's true. Amen. And he's saying, you know, the enemy is being overcome by the word of God. Amen. And so at the end, the Bible says that the devil flees and the angels come down and they minister to Jesus. They minister comfort and grace, mercy. Which is what so many of us need, right? We need grace. We need mercy. In the times of trial, we need comfort. We need to know God has everything under control. At the end of the day, that's what most of us need, right? Is to know that somebody cares. And it's in our scripture. It's telling us he'll place his angels charge over us. Should you choose to make the right choice? Should you choose to dwell within his word, within his promises? God provides protection. The angels are ministering spirits in times of trouble. And lastly, he brings deliverance. Psalms 91, 14 through 16, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him. In trouble I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is God speaking directly to us. Deliverance from those things that are creeping inside of our hearts, in our dwelling places. He's saying, I'll deliver you from that. Deliverance brings to mind people that are in chains, people that are enslaved by these things within us. Whatever it may be, you fill in the blank. What is God dealing with you about this morning? What is God saying? These chains are holding you down. The snare, the Bible, it talked about the snare in this. What a snare was, it was designed to catch something by its foot. whether it was a hole that had a trap in there, something that clamped onto the foot that was hooked to a chain or something. This snare, it restricted advancement. What's ensnaring you? Because God's saying, I will deliver you from that. I will break that chain. I will be your salvation. With God enthroned, the Bible's telling us, he'll satisfy us. Satisfy our souls. Satisfy our greatest need. But you have to let him dwell inside of you. A person who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will have reward of long life. This is what the Bible says. In Hebrew, this word is orek yamim, which means the lengthening of days. Those choices, how many of you have ever felt like you make a good choice, you do good for a little bit, then all of a sudden you mess up again and it seems like you're back at square one. You're going in this circle. Your choices never seem to go long. But the Bible is saying is when you put God on the throne of your heart, when you surrender to him, and you let your heart be a dwelling place for God, there's longevity in salvation. There's longevity in righteous decisions. There's longevity in blessing. There's longevity in fruitfulness, fruit that will remain. This is what God is saying. And ultimately, many scholars believe that this, the way that this wording is it alludes to eternal life. I mean, you know, that's the greatest reward. Is that when we pass on, we make a dwelling place for God, then God is going to say, welcome, you good and faithful servant. That's something we can look forward to, amen. There are rewards here. There is blessing here. But you have to choose to make your heart a dwelling place. I like every head bowed and every eye closed. No moving around for the next few moments. We all have a choice to make. We can either choose to let God be on the throne of our hearts, or we can say, you know what, I want to do my own thing. But perhaps the greatest choice that you have to make in this life, this choice and every single choice that we make echoes on into eternity. And the greatest choice that you and I have to make is to choose to let God be the Lord and Savior of our life. Jesus Christ loves you so much that he was willing to step down out of heaven, come down to this earth and live a perfect and a sinless life. Take our sins upon him and nail them to a cross so that you and I could know salvation. You and I can have relationship with God. What I'm talking about, I'm not talking about just religion. Letting God dwell within us, letting our lives be, our hearts be a dwelling place for God. That means that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to know you personally on a personal level. He wants to get involved in your situations, in your circumstances. He wants to help us. That can't happen if you don't give them access. Like I said, we create a dwelling place by giving him access. And if you've never received Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you've never asked him into your heart, you don't know what it is to have your sins forgiven, you don't know what it is to have an assurance that you would make heaven your home, well, you can know before this morning is done. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, all it takes is a simple prayer. A prayer of repentance. A prayer that says, God, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. I know my heart isn't right. I don't have that relationship. Pastor, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, you can know before this morning is over. Don't leave this place the same way you came in. If you want to ask Christ into your heart, you've never done that before. Like I said, all it takes is a simple prayer. And it would be a pleasure to say that prayer with you in this place. If you've never done that, just slip up your hand. By slipping up your hand, you're saying, I want to say that prayer that you're talking about, Pastor. I want to know the goodness of God. I want to know His salvation. I want to know what it is to be saved. How many would there be? We're not here to put you on the spot. We're not here to have you sign any type of creed or anything. All we want to do is say a prayer with you. Just slip up your hand. Put it up, put it right back down. God is in this place. Don't ignore that tugging that you feel on your heart. Backslider in this place, maybe once you knew the love of Jesus Christ, maybe once you had a relationship, once you let God dwell within your heart, maybe perhaps you started messing with some things that you didn't want Him to, and you kicked God out. Come back home, backslider. Let God be Lord of your life once again. How many would there be? Just slip up your hand quickly before we move on. Some of you may have thought, man, I'll go eat a free breakfast. But little did you know that God, the God in heaven, had this appointment written down in eternity so that you could get to know Him. Unsaved or backslidden, quickly raise your hand, put it up, put it right back down. Can't hold this all day. Hallelujah. Speaking to Christians and men in this place, what this world needs is not another career man, not another CEO of some Fortune 500 company. What this generation, what this world needs is somebody who will say, God, you have total access. All other things aside, God, just use me. Have right of way in my life. But that's a choice that you have to make. Amen. I believe God is dealing with some people in this place. Hallelujah. Let's just start praying. Hallelujah. If you're there at your seat, just start praying. Father God, we need you. Christians in this place, speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come in and minister into our hearts. Father God, we praise you. We glorify God, Lord, your holy name. God, I thank you for the blood shed on Calvary's tree. God, I thank you for salvation. God, I thank you, Father God, for all that you have done in our hearts and in our lives, God, and all that you will do, Father. Father God, we enthrone you, God, King of our hearts, Lord. Oh, remove, Father God, the dross, God, Lord. Let there be a refiner's fire, God, sparked within each and every one of us. Oh, God, one fire, God, that would burn off, God, the impurities, Father God, those things which hinder you, God, from Father God, I thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're praying, you can feel free to pray as long as you want. We're going to stand and sing a song. Create in me a clean heart. Hallelujah. And create in me a clean heart. And renew a
God, in this place. God, thank you for your love, God, and your mercy. God, thank you, God. Lord, you are holy, God. I thank you for your faithfulness to convict, God. Lord, for your faithfulness, God, to save and cleanse, God. Worthy is your